And right now, the Bryant Park Project continues its look at hometown perspectives on national political candidates. And today, we're on to Joe Biden, who has been the Democratic senator from Delaware since 1972. He's hitching his presidential campaign to his experience. Here's part of a recent ad.
The next president has to act. The Biden plan to end the war in Iraq has already won bipartisan support. When Pakistan erupted in crisis, I spoke to Musharraf before Bush did. You don't have to guess what I'll do as president. Just look at what I've done.
Now, in some parallel universe, Bill.
Yes.
That senator.
That guy, 35 years of public service, a stellar reputation on foreign policy, and at a debate, Hillary Clinton said publicly that President Bill Clinton sought Joe Biden's counsel before selecting his nominees for the U.S. Supreme Court. So all of that should make Joe Biden a serious contender for the Democratic nomination. However, Biden's poll numbers are closer to Mike Gravel's than they are to Barack Obama's.
So,
how? So what gives, or maybe more to the point, what doesn't give Joe Biden a realistic shot at the presidency? Joining us now to give us hometown perspective is Alan Ludell, news anchor and host at 1150 AM WDEL in Delaware. Hello, Alan.
Well, good morning, Allison and Bill.
How are you?
Oh, doing fine. How are you guys?
I'm very curious about Joe Biden because his failure in the polls doesn't add up to me. Let's start with Delaware. How would you describe the state of Delaware's political leanings? Red, blue, purple, or somewhere in between?
Used to be purple, but increasingly Democrats from top to bottom. Some pockets of conservative Republicanism, but even the upstate Republicans in Delaware, I think when they look at a national ballot, will go with the D's.
Okay, so to try to understand Delaware, talk about the special interests there. In the Northwest, it's the lumber industry. In Louisiana or Oklahoma or Texas, it's the oil business. What is the special interest of Delaware to whom a guy like Joe Biden might conceivably be beholden?
Might conceivably. Well, I would say the whole congressional delegation, not just Biden. But, well, if you had asked me 10 years ago, I would just have said the banking industry, credit cards, and stop right there. And to be sure, they're still very influential. But, you know, there have been some declines in that industry. But other than that, the military, Dover Air Force Base, protecting it against any closing, although that would be doubtful. And don't forget, we've got America's number one chicken-producing county, Sussex County. So, for example, if you have a trade bill with Russia, and Russia would have the ability to block the import of U.S. chickens, Biden's going to try to protect Delaware on that.
I enjoyed some Sussex County chicken just last evening, and it was delicious, I must say.
And you might have not enjoyed paying off a credit card from Wilmington, Delaware the other day.
Well, I'm way behind on that, but thanks for bringing it up. Now, on which of his policy positions would you guess that Joe Biden doesn't want Democratic voters to focus? Is there something he has done which, if his opponents would seize it, would embarrass him?
You know, he had a book that just came out recently, and it's quite candid about all his failings and what he did wrong in life. The one thing he did not bring up in that book was the Clarence Thomas hearings. You hear about Judge Bork. You don't hear about Clarence Thomas. Some people thought there was a reason for that, in that he got into a lot of trouble with those, in particular some women who were upset over the way that it seemed at the beginning there might have been a way to not have that public testimony from Anita Hill. But other than that, he says what he says, and, you know, arguably there's less pandering, it would seem, than from some of the others.
So here we have a guy who panders less, who has a clear understanding of the Constitution, who has extraordinary experience in foreign policy, and who gets a lot of attention in debates with pithy answers. He seems to have enormous appeal. The only thing anyone I talk to can put a finger on as a detraction is that he puts his foot in his mouth.
Or he talks too much. And, of course, there was one debate where he had a one-word answer. So it more or less illustrated it. That's been a problem for him, although, you know, it's also the appeal. I would argue, in some respects, Biden is kind of like McCain. The appeal, I'm just talking politically in terms of communicating, the appeal is that, to use McCain's word, straight talk, that it doesn't always seem to be from the script, that you can get him to say some stuff that might get him in trouble. But, you know, that has been part of his appeal. And I don't mean to minimize his critics. He does have critics in Delaware, the conservative Republicans, although when they ran Ray Clatworthy against him a couple of times, it didn't do very well, although Clatworthy did score against Biden better in the second race than the first.
Is he well-liked in his home state?
Oh, I would say generally yes. But again, you do have pockets of ardent opposition to Biden, possibly because he's not a very typical Delaware politician. He's much more charismatic. He's more eloquent. He does talk too much at times. And politically, well, this is part of perhaps being a politician, but he does have his critics on the left as well as the right. You have some people on the left who argue that really the Bidens, and I do mean his son, who's also the Attorney General of Delaware, Bill Biden, you know, have always been about law and order, and there's not quite the sympathy for maybe things can go wrong in the judicial system. Of course, he would adamantly deny that. But so he does get some pockets of opposition from the left as well as the right. But I would say overall he's been popular, not quite as popular as the Republican congressman, former governor of Delaware, Mike Castle, was until the Iraq War got going. But, you know, at one point Castle was winning re-election with the greatest margins of all of our statewide federal politicians, of which, of course, we have one U.S. senator or two U.S. senators and one member of the U.S. House.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're winding down, but if you could boil it down, Alan, it's sort of what I'm trying to get at with this entire segment. You, as a close observer of Joe Biden, how would you explain, if you were forced to in, say, 23 seconds or so, how would you explain Joe Biden's total political impotence in the race for the Democratic nomination?
I wouldn't call it total political impotence. A lot of people seem to like him as their second choice. The question is, will it gel? I think it's almost like George Bush. You used to hear terms in the Republican Party when he ran the first time, they took all the oxygen out of the room from the others. I think Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have taken so much oxygen out of the room, and not to mention Edwards, it's left very little left for the second-tier candidates. When Biden contemplated this candidacy, he did not count on Obama running.
Right. Right, right. He's a victim of circumstances.
As the anti-Hillary, in a way.
Well, there you have it. Alan Ludell, thank you so kindly. News anchor and host at 1150 AM WDEL. Thank you kindly this morning.
Take care.
Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, Moby will talk about his new album. And did we tell you, he is DJing our show today. The music you're hearing right now, picked out by the master himself.
Impressive.
Stick around. We got a good long interview with Moby coming up. More music as well. And we'll also talk about 30th anniversary of a fantastic movie. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.